All right, we've been looking at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, and we're doing the fifth one, almost done. We're going to finish that today. And let me review this. I did it last week, and there was some technical problems, and we hope that, pray that it'll be rendered this week, because I'm going to do that same thing for the third time because of technical stuff that went on. I taught it one time, problems, the internet was on and off. Second time, it's going to go in the name of Jesus this time, all right? All right. Now, second time, third time coming up. We're looking at Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 and 2, where in the middle, number 5, is Perizzites, and they operate in their dream robbers. Just a review. They promote shame, inadequacy. They work with the Jebusites, Girgites, and the Amorites. All right, our first scripture again. This is third time, all right? It's John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. All right, John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Jesus, I'm just going to kind of bounce along in review instead of reading again the scripture. I'll just tell you what's going on because I read it twice already. All right, Jesus is in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Jews, which he normally would attend. There's a sheep market pool called Bethesda, right? And great multitudes of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting of the moving of the water. That's verse 3. In verse 4, an angel would come down at a certain season, would move the water, and whoever fell, thrown, pushed, crawled, jumped, leaped into the water was made whole, whatever disease that the individual had. Verse 5, there was a certain man there who's been infirm 38 years. Remember, we talked about the number 38 was so important with this type spirit. Jesus saw him lie there, and he's been a long time there, and Jesus knew that if he was there 38 years, Jesus was not yet 33 years old. So here you go. How many times have Jesus passed by that pool and that man was laying there? See, let me just throw this to you. The seasons are very important. There's times and seasons. The season's a blessing. By the way, Grace Point Ministries is in that right now, favor and blessings. You're getting blessed everywhere. Now, Jesus had must have walked past that pool untold times because every time he went up to Jerusalem, that pool was right there. That time, though, it was that man's occasion. Been there 38 years. The numbers are important. In the scripture, the numbers are important. They mean something. They're not just time parameters. Okay, it's the second day of the third month. No. The time means something. Don't miss it. Don't miss when they talk about the watches of the hours and the time. He's been there 38 years. It must have some spiritual significance. Don't take those days lightly. Well, he's been there 38 years and forget about it. No. You're going to see that, hopefully. Now, Jesus comes along and he says, you want to be made whole, verse 6. And the man says, I have no one to throw me in the water. Someone beats me there. Jesus didn't ask him that. He said, you want to be well? You want to be well? You see, this spirit keeps people thinking smallness. They think small. This spirit absolutely destroys a person's ability to be blessed. All right? Now, let's go to Deuteronomy. I told you that a moment ago, that these numbers mean something. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Look at this. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we came over the brook Zered was 30 8 years. Wasn't the man laying by that pool 38 years? See how significant? Until all the generation of the men of war was wasted out, or they died from among the hosts, and the Lord swear unto them. You see? 15 says, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the hosts until they were consumed. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed, the dead from among the people. Now listen to this. Here's a man that wasted away 38 years. And in Deuteronomy 2, that 38 years is there. From Jesus in the New Testament to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Notice what's happening. They were being destroyed until they were consumed. What do you think was happening by that pool? All those people around the pool was being destroyed until they were consumed. They were consumed. See, that man needed to depend upon the Lord, not people. That's why he said, I don't have any man to throw me into the pool. And here was the Son of God standing in front of him. And he did not recognize the moment. Ooh, my goodness. My goodness. Recognize the moment. So many people misses that. Recognize the moment. Recognize the moment. Now's your time. And this spirit doesn't want you to be blessed or touched by God. So, what's wrong with you? I don't have anybody to go me in the pool. So Jesus says, get up and walk. Recognize the moment God has for you. And this spirit tries to keep that away from Christians. Smallness and can't do it and no count and never get any better. Not ever get any further than this. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departed from the Lord. Notice heart departed from the Lord. See, you know, are you going to stay here till you die? The man in the pool waited for something extraordinary to occur. Face to face with Jesus, he goes directly to the man, and the Spirit of God heals him. And he's raised up. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15. See, here's that spirit in operation again, all right? Here's that spirit in operation again. Here it comes. Then we're brought, this is Matthew 19, 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, and he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. 14. For Jesus said, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such of is the kingdom of heaven. Now look at 15. He lays his hands on them, and he blesses them. See, here's that spirit in operation again. Little children, all right? We know he's talking about physical children, but how about spiritual little children? We've got untold amounts of spiritual little children in the church. I'm not talking about the kids and children's church. I'm talking about the adults sitting in the sanctuary. Little children, they get mad. They fuss. They argue. They act like kids. You know, you know how that goes. I wonder what happened in the churches yesterday, how many little children were there. And I'm talking about the kids in children's church. I'm talking about the kids sitting in congregation. And somebody says, no, the spirit says, no, this evil spirit says, no, stay small. Stay little. Be a small village. And that's what that spirit does. It creates smallness. Then in Matthew 18:10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. See, God's able to take them, and he's able to raise them up. He's able to strengthen them and help them and encourage them and love them. But the spirit we're talking about always beats them down, brings shame and lameness and uselessness, paralyzed, can't do anything. And that's that spirit in operation. The key to overcoming this spirit is dependence upon God himself. That's how you get rid of this stuff. You begin to depend upon God himself. John 15 has some insight. In verse number 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so more can ye. Oh, look at this. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I'm the vine, famous, right? You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Absolutely true. Without him we can't, you know, do anything. See, because this spirit wants to keep you under its control and take your mind, which needs to be renewed, where you have the spirit of nothingness. I am nothing, can't do nothing, but in Jesus you can do all things. You're not a poor villager, and that's what this spirit wants to make you into. A poor villager. No, you're not. You are a child of the living God. And see, what happens is, the spirit puts external pressure on us from the working with the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Gershites, all those different spirits. They all work together. Those seven spirits in Deuteronomy 7, they all work together. They all work together. All work together. And see what happens, it's this and that. That's why we have the tendency, maybe not you, but a lot do, not to have total victory. Because once they go through something, once they go through number one, here comes a second thing and a third thing. So they're always going through something. It's not this, it's that, it's not that, it's this. It's not the fourth thing, it's the fifth thing. There's always turmoil in their lives. They're like, you know, they're like a runner, all right? A runner running, and it's a marathon race, and it's a 4x100. And you have these four guys, they run, and they run their race, and they hand off the baton. And then the second guy keeps running, the third guy, and the fourth guy. That's what happens. These spirits run their race, and then they just turn the baton to another one of their colleagues, and then they run the race. And the person there is always financial, spiritual, family. I mean, it's on and on. It's on. Car breaks down, that goes up, this does that. Always, always. And their testimony is always something is wrong. It's never something is right. It's never, look what the Lord has done. It's never, see what Jesus just accomplished. It's never, look at the favor from God I got this week. Look at the blessings that came my way and my family. It's always another problem, 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 problem. There's never victory. And that's these spirits operating and passing off the baton to keep God's power and presence away from those that need it the most. See, in the moment a person begins to stand up and operate in spiritual authority, then these spirits begin to attack. But what a person does is that wait a minute, I'm not putting up with this stuff. Realize the value of who you are in God and thank Him for it. You're a Christian. You have the robe of righteousness around your shoulders. You have a crown of life upon your head. Amen. Your loins are girt about with truth. You have the breastplates of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. That's who you are. Don't say that you're nothing. I'm not nothing. I am a child of God, and I am a full overcomer. And through Christ, I can do all things. See, be an overcomer in life. Don't allow these spirits just beat you up. Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Spiritual power. Don't let this spirit produce uselessness and disablement and always struggling and always living in strife all the time. They live in strife. It's like swimming in mud. See, get your help from the Lord. It's there, available, next to you. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now, that's strange. I said this the other day. If you go up to a lady, men go up to your wife and look at her hair and say, your hair looks like goat hair, she'll punch you right in the nose. Right? She'll slap you silly. But in that time, goat hair was very strong, and it deals with the strength of our spiritual nature. I had a goat hair, horse hair rug. It's massive. Hung it on my wall. Huge, beautiful colors. I got it in Turkey, in probably a market in one of the areas where they made the rugs. It may have been Istanbul, the Grand Bazaar. It could be in other places, but that's not important now. And it was gorgeous. It was on our living room floor for years, just as beautiful. And the hair is very coarse. And it was beautiful. When you look at the sun would hit it and just be gorgeous. Well, that's what God is saying. See, goat hair is strong, and that's what we should have in our spiritual nature. There should be strength within us because we're children of God. Strength within us, strength within us. Here again is a passage from Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, verse 5. Turn away thy eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Here you go. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. That's Song of Solomon 6:5. Go call your wife. Tell her hair looks like a flock of goats. Wow. Wow. Take you to the hospital. You punch your eyes out, right? But back then, that was a tremendous compliment. Tremendous compliment. It's saying, you're beautiful and you have the strength. You're beautiful and you have the strength. Somebody needs to say that to themselves. I'm beautiful and I have the strength of God in my life. If you're listening in right now, you need to say it. There's somebody listening right now that needs to say it aloud. I'm beautiful. And I have the strength of God. Romans 8:1. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, you're beautiful in God. The glory of the Lord is in your life. Don't degrade yourself. Don't degrade yourself. Don't say, well, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Again, back to Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 5. Look at this. Thy head upon thee is like Carmel, and thy hair of thy head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. Gallery, right? Think of a painting, art gallery, a photography gallery, all the beautiful pictures. Thy head is upon thee like caramel. That's gorgeous. Thy hair is like purple. That's royalty. Purple is the color of royalty. That's the color of spiritual authority. When Jesus was being tried in that kangaroo court, they put a purple robe upon him. And they actually was anointing him as king and didn't realize it, that purple robe. Purple robe. See, and God has that for you. God has that beauty for you. Hallelujah. He does. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, this is a psalm I just love because it tells me some marvelous things about our Lord. Question: why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? If this is not a picture of today, I don't know what is. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers shall take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, is this not happening? Let us break the bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. Cords, they do not want to be associated with God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in delusion. That's what happens after a while. They think they can really get rid of God. 5, then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with sore displeasure. They really think that they can get rid of God, take God off the throne. There's where this spirit is operation against them. Their minds are so warped and their minds are so blown out of proportion that we know what's going on in this world. And these people actually think that they're going to disbar God from the heavenlies. And that's where the Antichrist comes in. That's where the Antichrist, anti-God, anti-people, anti-everything comes in right there. And he becomes who he thinks he is, disbars God off the heavens he thinks he can, and then God laughs at it all. See, kings do not say, I'm coming off the throne. And these people think that they're going to take God off the throne. Here's how to overcome shame. Number one, recognize that God wants to get that shame out of your life. Recognize that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay? A lot of people are living by that shame right there. That shame, no sin. I'm sinful, well, so-and-so. And the devil just beats them and jumps up and down and wipes them out. But verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, what's happened here is that people live in shame. They just get jumped up and down. Child of God, if you have given your heart to Jesus and you confess your sins to him, and he has been faithful and forgiven you of your sins and cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Stop living in shame. Stop the shame. Stop living and being beaten down all the time by this evil spirit and live in shame all the time. Lift your head up because you have been redeemed by the power of God. And don't get beaten down. I'm a pastor. I've seen thousands of those that are just beaten up all the time. I mean, beaten up, beaten up, beaten up. Stop the I'm no good, no count. I'll never make anything out of myself. I'll never get any better. I'll never get this. I'll never get that. I'll never get this. I'll never get over that. That is not biblical. I get angry at that because I deal with this all the time. See, number two, set your face like flint against these spirits that generate shame in your life. I mean, just set your face like flint. Just set your face like flint. Say, I won't be shamed anymore. I won't, I won't, I won't. Because here's what will happen. The enemy will come in and beat you to pieces, discourage you, wipe you out, take your total victory away, and you live in undefeat. No, you live in total defeat. You need to live in undefeat, but you live in total defeat. That's not what God wants for you. No. Let's go back to Isaiah 50 again. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah 50. Look at verse 5. Look at these. Last scripture in this series. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Listen to this. 6. I give my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's a prophecy of Jesus. Now look at verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be what? Ashamed. Oh yeah. He is near that justifieth me and who contend with me. He asks a question. He's near. He's justified me, and who will contend with me? Then he says, let us stand together, who is mine adversary. Who is my adversary? The Lord is coming near me. 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, and moths shall eat them up. Stop letting this spirit simply beat you up all the time. Just stop and be an overcomer and dependent upon God, allowing him to help you to walk in his authority, his anointing, and his power, and you will put that spirit out of your life. In Jesus' name, do that today.